I went to a women's college in the 90s. This is not particularly new.
Hello, and welcome to the Euro What, episode 226, dropping on April 9th, 2024. We are a pair of Americans trying to make sense of the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm Mike McComb, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben Smith. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike.
In this episode, we'll be talking about Semi 2 Group 1 with our special guest, Katie Proctor. Hi, Katie.
Hello. It's great to be here.
We were talking before we went on mic about how this is kind of an Oops All Revamps episode with the set that we're going to be talking about today.
Sometimes that's just how the chips fall. It was interesting to look, and I specifically went and tried to find original versions versus revamps just to solidify my thoughts on a few of them.
How did you get introduced to Eurovision?
I have a good friend who lived in Sweden when she was in high school. And so that was late 90s, early 2000s. And she came back and has a big Eurovision party every year. And finally, one year I went and absolutely fell in love. Because as it turns out, that was the 2014 contest. That was an excellent introduction to this whole thing. And I really slowly got more and more involved. It was a couple of years until I started watching the semifinals, and then it was a year or two after that until I really started following the national final process, and now here we are.
2014 was like a really good year.
I was very disappointed the next year when I realized that the postcards were different every year because I really liked how they had everyone create their flags, and I didn't realize that that would change the next year.
I think that is one of my favorite sets of postcards as well.
Every time Austria got 12 points, I don't even remember how many of us there were at that point, five or six of us. Conchita, Conchita, Conchita. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Excellent. So we are starting off our coverage of Semifinal 2 with this set, and we're continuing with what we did in Semifinal 1, where we are discussing these in the order that they were selected, even though we have the running order now. Over on Patreon, we will be putting together a compilation mega mix of the reviews in their running order. The Patreon episode for Semifinal 1 should be up by the time you are hearing this, and we will be dropping the episode for Semifinal 2 in a few weeks because we still need to go through these 16 entries. We're only covering 5 today. Are y'all ready to get started? Alina Sirmanova, who performs as Aiko, was selected through the ESCZ process to represent Czechia at Eurovision with the song Pedestal. In 2015, Aiko reached the top 20 for a Česko-Slovenska superstar, otherwise known as Czech Idol. Since then, she has been featured in Spotify's Equal campaign, which supports and promotes women in music. As a result, Aiko became the first artist from Czechia to be featured in ads in Times Square. ESCZ took place in December. The winner was determined by a weighted combination of Czech televoters and international televoters, with the international contingent holding more value. Aiko won the international televote by a hefty margin, securing her place in Malmö. Pedestal is written by Aiko and Steven Ansell. Last year, Czechia finished in 10th place with the song My Sister's Crown by the group Vesna. Czechia is in slot 5 in the lineup between Switzerland and the preview performance for France. So Katie, what do you think of Pedestal?
Where to start? So I don't actually turn on Eurovision brain until January. I don't know why. I know there are selections before that. I can't for whatever reason. And everything that I heard about this national final did not lead me to want to go seek this out because all of the reviews were bad. So it was the original studio track that I heard. I went to a women's college in the 90s. This is not particularly new for someone who went through that particular era of music, but there were parts that I did like. Then I heard the revamp and I know why they did it. I know that they can't have that particular line in the song, but loving me more than you once did is not the same as loving me more than your BS. Those are different ideas. Those are different connotations. And it really changes the whole tone of the song for me. It doesn't have the kick that it did. The original has that, now I see through you and I can do better than this. And now it's just kind of, yeah, you once really liked me and now you don't anymore. So I can't with this. The random break in the middle to have an old argument pop up. Why? Why do we need that? I just don't get it.
Ben, what are your thoughts on this one?
Okay, so just to preface this, has either of you seen Anatomy of a Fall?
Not yet.
No. Okay. I won't be giving anything away, but there's like a pivotal moment in the start of the movie where the main character's husband is loudly playing a steel drum cover of 50 Cent's P.I.M.P. to irritate her while she's trying to do an interview. It's just blasting. You both understand her irritation, but also it's a very funny choice of a song. And there's an interview with the director where she talks about how initially that was going to be Dolly Parton's Jolene. If you think that your spouse is flirting with the interviewer, playing Jolene is a very pointed thing to do. It really tilts your thoughts on, like, did this person end up murdering their husband?
Yeah.
Whereas a loudly blasting steel drum cover of 50 Cent, it's a very different vibe. There's some ambiguity. It completely changes the meaning of the scene and the film. And that's what I feel has happened with the revamp on this song. All the little things that you called out, Katie, are just like making it's a very different song now. Mm-hmm. And I like the 90s feel of it. Like right now, Olivia Rodrigo is tapping into a lot of some of those similar sounds in a way that's really working for me. I do like that they've added in this nice vocal moment because they had like 30 seconds on the table. The original studio track is only 2.5 minutes. But this is not what to do with the remaining 30 seconds you have. The argument just feels like how Léa Cirq decided to just like have an accidental power failure in the arena. It's just confusing. Why are we zipping back in time to the inciting incident of this song?
Yeah, I don't know if I really have much more to add. My first note is Olivia Rodrigo, so Ben, you've covered that. where this is in the lineup, it is going to be a point of contrast with Nemo and France and Colleen, so it'll stand out in that way, but this one didn't really catch my ear when it was first selected. It kind of feels like something that would play at the Bronze on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then I was listening to the original version earlier today, and it's like, oh, this is reminding me of the theme song from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So it's fine for what it is. And I don't really think there is anything else in this year's competition that is quite matching this. So it does have that point of distinction. But beyond that, yeah, like there's just nothing really grabbing me about it. And I don't find it particularly relatable, but I think that's just kind of more like my personal life experience and not having drawn out arguments turned into songs.
It's kind of a shame because the first version was very good. They like went through all the places they need to make changes and they picked the wrong one every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is sort of the tricky part about selecting early, because you have time to revamp, but you also have time to like overthink your revamp, and I think that's what's happened here.
But I don't think it's the most egregious example of that. Shall we move on to Albania?
Titan by Besa will be Albania's representative at Eurovision. Besa Kokedgima released her first single in 2003 and her debut album Besa in 2006. In 2009, she participated in Romania's Eurovision selection process and would go on to win Albania's Kenga Magike in 2013. In 2017, she joined the Voice of Albania as a judge. Besa competed in Festivali I Kengës with the song Zemrën e Dorë and won the home audience vote to select the country's Eurovision contestant. The song went through a complete revamp into English. Titan is written by Besa, Kledi Bahiti, Gia Koka, and Alias LJ. Last year's entry, Duye, by Albina and Familia Kelmeni, finished in 22nd place. Albania will perform second in the second semifinal after Malta and before Greece. Katie, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, like with Czechia, I did not watch this live. I heard the original on some of the playlists, and it was fine. It wasn't earth-shattering. It didn't make me stop and go, oh, this is great. But it was fine. Then I heard the revamp. And the thing that bugs me the most about it is that they can't decide whether they want everything to rhyme or not. And it just kicks me out every time. And then you know, well, why didn't you say learn there? Learn rhymes with burn. You say learn again in two more words. Why did you just not think that all the way through? You can't mix and match whether you're going to rhyme or not. And that's just the most basic thing. Why do we need a sped up disco version towards the end? What even is she referencing with Titan? What kind of Titan does she mean? Does she mean Titan AE? Does she mean the Greek Titans? I just have so many questions, and none of them are answered by this song.
All right, Mike.
I don't know if I've ever been this disappointed with a revamp before. Like, I'm looking at my notes, and I'm pretty sure this is the longest set of notes I have written for any one entry in the entire time that I have been covering Eurovision. Like, I was a fan of the original version of the song. Like, it wasn't giving me winner vibes or anything, but it was definitely giving me, like, that late 90s pop country crossover potential type, like Leanne Rimes, Trisha Yearwood, hitting that sort of vocal space where it's like, yeah, if Carrie Underwood knew Albanian, she could absolutely cover this track. And I think it would do very well. I think there was so much potential there and something that would be kind of a throwback, but still have that sort of modern twist to it. But then, much like what you were saying, Katie, about Czechia making every single wrong decision where they had to make a choice, like that is absolutely happening with this entry. Even Besa sounds bored with what's going on in here. Like when it gets to the spoken word part, which, slight sidebar, just because something is spoken does not make it rap. Like I'm thinking specifically of Blondie's Rapture, and like what Besa is doing in here is very much Debbie Harry, maybe not fully aware of where she is. Getting into the lyrics and stuff, this really does feel like they took all of the singles have been released by Sia, threw that in a random word generator and tried to spit something out. I'm thinking that is where Titan came from. Because, like, well, we can't call it titanium, but we could take off the eum and work with that. And then that's how you get, like, tears ricocheting off your face. It's like, that's not how tears work. And, like, tempo shift, question mark, exclamation point is my last note. Because, like, yeah, why is that in there? Like, you certainly did not run out of time to express whatever the idea is here. They had such a fantastic base to work with what was initially selected at Festival de Cangas. And this is not it. And like even the production is a downgrade. Like it sounds like a demo track and less polished than what the original single sounded like. So if I was somebody who voted for Besa at Festival de Cangas, I'd be kind of mad about it, because it's like, yeah, this wasn't what I voted for. Can we have a revote or something? Because, like, yeah, this is real disappointing.
If I knew it was going to turn into this, I would not have picked it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. this is just...
No, like, if I had come in and did not know, and, like, you played both of these for me, and you asked me which one of these is the original song and which is the revamp, I would pick the original as the revamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they took all of the things that they were trying in the original, they focused on one of them, and it sounds beautiful. Instead, what the heck is going on with the last 30 seconds of this song? Just like somebody stomping down on the gas pedal of this car as we just careen over the cliff. Why are we turning into like the TikTok version of this song where it's already been sped up? It feels like they're like, okay, let's try a couple different things for the revamp. And like, okay, cool. Let's make it a Sia song. Great. We love it. Let's make an 80s version. Great. We love it. Let's do the sped up version for TikTok. This is fantastic. Let's staple all three of them together. The original, I agree, is not earth-shattering. It was very Albania at Eurovision. I would love to hear a pop country version of this track, because, like, I think you make some excellent points, Mike. I feel like I read somewhere where it was claimed that this started in English and then they made the Albanian version. I don't want to believe that, because, like, I don't know. No, I've heard the words of this song.
And I've seen the Albanian the translation of the Albanian lyrics, and it's not anywhere close to the same story. It's Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, sometimes happens because, like, Dothy Frere wrote Think About Things in English, and the Icelandic version is like, yeah, I needed some words that fit this melody, so I just told this weird story that had nothing to do with the actual song. But it feels like they're trying to make the song more universal in like the English version, and like in doing that have lost a little bit of everything that makes the original work well.
I mean, maybe it's a critique of English being such a dominant force at Eurovision, but at the same time, it's like Albania's been doing rather well recently with songs in Albanian. So if this is the point, one, I don't think you need to be making it, and two, this is not how you do that.
I was walking around listening to these songs in preparation today, and like the first time I listened to the Albanian revamp, I had to like go back to the original because I'm like, did I forget how the original sounded? Mm-hmm. Like, had I been misremembering? No, I had not. And like, I had to like go back and listen to that to confirm for myself I was listening to the same song and they hadn't just like gone off and written a new song.
The very tiniest little bits remaining, the little hook in the chorus, and that's about it. The other thing I want to say about this is that I was watching one of the FIK performances on YouTube upstairs on the TV, and my husband walked in, and he is not into Eurovision. He thinks the whole thing, he's just befuddled by my interest in it. But he took one look at the, and of course it was the armored breastplate thing that she was wearing.
I was going to ask.
And he just kind of stood there and cocked his head and went, okay. And went to the kitchen and turned around and went back down. That was all he needed to see of that.
This revamp has kind of deflated my enthusiasm in ways that I was not prepared for, honestly.
It is Nina Garcia on Project Runway declaring that you have taste issues.
Yeah.
I'm just, uh-oh.
It has to be aesthetically pleasing. And red and black is my absolute favorite color combination. So I love the Albanian flag. Mall is one of my all-time favorite Eurovision songs. This ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just disappointed. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only
thing. We're not mad. Yeah. We're just disappointed.
No, I think I'm bad too.
I think if I had voted for Zimmer and Dore and this is what they sent, I would be just like doing a chargeback on my credit card. Hello, this is the one you ordered from Wish.
Yeah. The progressive folk rock band Gata will represent Norway at Eurovision with the song Ulvehem. The band originally formed 25 years ago and released their debut album in 2002. This album reached number one on the Norwegian charts, and their follow-up in 2004 reached number three. The band took a break in 2005, reformed for a year in 2009, then took another break until 2017. During that latter break, bass player Mats Paulsen reached the final of Norway's version of MasterChef. Anyway, this year was the first time Gata competed in Norway's Melody Grand Prix. In the competition's final, the group finished in second place with the international jury, receiving 112 and several tens. However, thanks to a 60-40 televote jury split and a strong showing in the televote, the band snuck past 2019 representatives Keino to win the ticket to Sweden. Ulvehem, originally based on a manuscript inspired by a 1,000-year-old Scandinavian ballad, had to go through a rewrite before the MGP final. The rewrite is written by Ronny Jansen and Sveinun Sundli. This is also the first entry since 2006 to be in Norwegian. Last year, Norway landed in fifth place thanks to Alessandra's Queen of Kings. Norway is in slot 15, after Israel and before the Netherlands.
Quick note before we get there, just because, like, for whatever reason, the MasterChef thing just broke me.
Yeah.
MasterChef is just, like, a TV program that I do not understand. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I get it, but just, like, it's just, for whatever reason, just you mentioning that unlocked, like, a sense memory from, like, being in Liverpool last year, because, like, somehow, MasterChef is just always on in the UK.
Oh, really?
It's just like there is like a normal season every year and then they go directly into a celebrity season and then there's like a pastry one. It's just always on and I don't understand.
The devil's in the details, you know?
Yeah. Just the delightful little things you learned about these bands. I was excited about this one. I'm still excited, but I'm mostly just excited to see this be live. When I watch the performance, it's great. When I listen to the studio version, it's okay. There's something that the studio version doesn't capture from their energy, and the live version of the vocals of this really grabbed me. The studio track is very, like, it does what it needs to do. I'm not sure I feel the same kind of Winter vibes, but, like, it does feel like it's something that has the potential to do very well with both the jury and the televote if they keep the staging kind of similar to what was happening in Norway.
I did watch all of the Norway process. Sort of. I watched all the performances. There's a lot of banter in Norwegian that I just skipped because national final season and high school wrestling season are pretty much a circle in the Venn diagram, and I just don't have, there's only so many hours in the day. When Kano was announced, I was really excited. I love Kano. Dom Digada is by far the least of their three entries into MGP. I think I am still mad that Tix won instead of sending Monument, because I think Monument would have done fantastically at the contest. Anyway, this is it. This is exactly what I love about Eurovision. This is a metal with folk, with lyrics from a thousand-year-old epic, with a performance that was ready to step onto Malmo right then. They were ready to go. They could just pick up the set, take it to Malmo, and be done. They clearly know what they are doing. It shows that they've been together for 25 years. They all work together. They all got their spotlights in the live performance. And this is, yes, yes, please, more. I want that. Yes. I make a custom shirt for myself every year for wherever I end up watching Eurovision. And Then I Got to Drink My Brother's Blood is real high on the short list of possibilities for this year. And it wasn't really until last night when I was reviewing everything that what that means really sunk in for me. She's drinking her stepmother's blood. That means she's drinking her brother's blood because his blood is the same as the stepmother's. And then it was like, oh, yes, even more. This is delightful. Sorry, didn't mean to get a little bloodthirsty there, but you know.
We're recording this on a Friday. It's totally understandable. So. I don't really have many notes for this, just because I completely agree that this is ready to go and no notes. Like, it is very easily a top five contender, I think. It's the most interesting of the set that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler for the next two, I guess. But yeah, and I think it's also going to be kind of a refuge for the people who aren't really interested in the Weird Little Dude Legion this year, but still want something interesting at Eurovision. This is definitely hitting the folklore rock and roll ratio quite nicely. I don't think it's going to be affected where it ends up in the lineup in the grand final. It could be the first half. It could be the second half. It could be right there in the middle of the lineup. People are going to remember this performance. The fact that they have been around for 25 years, which I didn't realize until starting to do the research for this episode, is like, oh, they've been a group for a while. They didn't just get together. So I'm not worried about the kind of marathon aspect of Eurovision. I have a feeling they have the discipline and know how to, like, not do 100% when they don't need to do 100%. So they're probably not going to be exhausted by the time grand final rolls around. They just have to promise not to overdo it at any of the Nordic parties that'll be happening in Malmo during the week. But yeah, I don't really have much more to say. Like, good song, good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, yeah. On my end, like, I think the reason that ultimately I'm kind of just in like a holding pattern is like, yeah, like, it's ready to go. Can we just fast forward to a few weeks from now where I can just be like, yes, this does sound very good in the arena. I was correct.
This followed by Netherlands is going to be a hell of an end to the second semifinal.
Yeah, those two in particular. That is just this year's Eurovision in a nutshell right there. It's just those two things.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Norway.
I complain about your process every year, but the process works. I just need to trust the process. Oh my God, you got me on. Malta has selected Sara Bonici and the song Loop as its representative at Eurovision. Sarah has tried several times to represent her country at Eurovision. As a child, she competed in Malta's selection process for Junior Eurovision in 2009 and 2010, and had the opportunity to be a backing dancer and singer at the 2010 Junior Eurovision Song Contest. She spent her teen years competing at various festivals across Europe, and returned to Malta to compete in the first season of X Factor in hopes of representing her country in 2019. Malta returned to the Malta Eurovision Song Contest format to select their artists in 2022, and Sarah competed then as well. In this year's edition, which started in October, Sarah was the second act to perform. She qualified for the final and dominated the jury, receiving top marks from 6 of the 7 jurors. Though Loop finished second in the televote, Sarah had a large enough lead to advance to Malmö. Loop is written by Atticus Blue, John Emil Johansson, Joy Deb, Kevin Lee, Lear Gachi Angel, Linnea Deb, Michael Joe Cheney, and Sarah Bonici. Joy and Linnea Deb were part of the writing team behind Heroes, the winner of Eurovision 2015. Malta missed the final of the last 2 years with Dance, My Own Party, by The Busker, finishing last in last year's first semifinal. Malta will open this year's second semifinal.
You know how we often say that Eurovision is 2 to 3 years behind the trends in current pop music? I feel like Malta is 2 to 3 years behind Eurovision and the trends established there. Let me go back a little bit. So a couple weekends ago, down in the Swedish neighborhood here in Chicago, there was a bar that was doing a sort of Eurovision video party thing. I was surprised that I was not the only person there. It was actually a pretty good turnout. But yeah, the video for Zhimakas, Malta's 2021 entry, popped up. That had winner vibes about it. Malta was a potential favorite to win in 2021. And it really feels like this song is trying to capture that magic again, but does not have the ingredients. Whatever your pop music or Eurovision pet peeve is, I think it's in this song. You have the Christina Aguilera-ish power notes towards the end, the unnecessary dance break, the gun-loading sound effects for whatever reason. There's just so much going on. It's just it's so plastic and so not of this time. I think it's actually kind of a successful revamp because there were a lot of problems with the original version. The lead into the chorus where she's saying oh my God, blah, 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 blah. That was a mush mouth problem in the original version where it sounded like she's you're not my father, blah, 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 blah. And it's no, that's not what she's saying, even though that's exactly what it sounds like. So this one is really bugging me. And I think it would have been okay if this were the song last year. I think it's this year's solo, just in terms of way too many cooks trying to throw way too many ingredients into this word salad. I don't know, mixed metaphors all over the place, including from me. So yeah, no thank you, Malta.
The main thing I remember about you going to that Eurovision party was just getting an all caps message later in the evening. They're playing Sufi at the bar.
They did play Sufi, and it was a magical experience.
Yes. No, I told you, I'll be there in 5. Yeah. It probably would have been 5 hours, but I would have been there. Yep. Just getting on a plane immediately. All right, Katie, how do you feel about Malta's song?
This is really a dance routine with lyrics. It's not a song. She desperately is trying to cash in on what Chanel did with Slow Mo, but she's not Chanel. She's not as good a dancer. She's not as good a singer. I don't hate it. It's not bad. It's just not good. I do appreciate in the lyrics that there's some point of view changes, that it switches from I'm to you to we, that it's everything is building on each other, but other than that, it's fine. I hope the live in Malmö is better than the one in Malta, because that was not good. And when I watched the official video for this and saw her body set, I was like, oh, apparently boobs are a theme for this particular set of songs. I don't actively dislike it. There's nothing this year that I actively dislike, San Marino last year. Just could not handle that at all. But there's a bunch that are perfectly fine, but they just kind of wash over me, and then it's in one ear and out the other. There's nothing to hold on to.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're hitting on a lot of my notes on this one, because it's just at the top of my notes, serviceable.
Yeah.
Which is what you want out of a pop song, that it's serviceable. The revamp is still very We Have Chanel at Home. This feels like the sort of thing that should be playing over a montage on a Netflix dating show, just something that's kind of ambient television. There's just something slightly off-brand about it. It's a girl bop and, like, hooray, Malta is sending one of those again, but it's the kind that gets quickly forgotten. I think it's a good choice to open the show. I think it will be high energy. I'm not sure it's going to stick in people's minds, which is a problem. I don't dislike it, but I feel like disliking it would require more effort than it's worth putting in.
I do think that this has the hookiness in the sense of it will get stuck in your head, but not in a pleasurable way. When other Eurovision songs, like particularly ones that I enjoy, it's like, oh, this stuck in my head. This is great. All right. Cha-cha-cha, I think it's a really good example. Like once that gets into your head, it's going to be there for a couple of hours. Whereas this one, it's just like, oh, it's stuck in my head. Oh, it's going to be stuck in my head for 3 days, isn't it? Solo was successful last year, so I'm wondering if this is going to be enough of a, I don't know, or if people are just like, come on, like just rooting for Malta for like the concept of Malta.
But, I mean, I enjoy the concept of Malta. I do not enjoy the concept of like trying to like swat this song out of my head with a broom.
There's always one song that makes the final that I stop and think, what?
Yeah.
Why? Why this one? Solo was definitely it last year.
Successful revamp, though. We'll give it like successful revamp. And like, again, I think it's going to be a good opener to the show. It's something that could be high energy, good potential for like some pyrotechnics on the stage. Just like test the systems, get the audience warmed up, get everybody ready to go.
In the video, there's one particular costume that is completely blurred out.
Oh, really?
It's like it's the jeweled bikini kind of thing. But I swear it's mostly blurred. And I don't know why.
Does it also say Windows 95?
I don't think there's enough there to write Windows 95, if you catch my drift.
I mean, it's also Malta. It could just be like a subliminal ad for like the grocery store or whatever.
Dons will be representing Latvia with his song Hollow. Dons first found the spotlight on the Latvian reality show Talent Factory in 2003. His first album in 2004 was a collaboration with his girlfriend Lily, who was also a contestant on the show. They were married from 2009 until 2013. Dons released his first solo album in 2006, which was nominated for Best Rock Album at the Latvian Music Recording Awards. Along with continuing to produce award-winning work, Dons engaged in voice acting as well as mentoring on a reboot of Talent Factory, where he helped guide future Eurovision rep Aminata to victory. Dons has tried to represent Latvia at Eurovision a few times. In 2010, he finished second in the national selection with his song My Religion is Freedom. He was the runner-up again in 2014 with the song Padeja Vistula, which was dedicated to his ex-wife. The song was expected to win, but missed out by fewer than 100 televotes in the superfinal. This year, the margin was not at all close. Dons won the Supernova jury and received almost 45% of the televote in the 10-song field. Hollow is written by Dons, Liam Geddes, and Kate Northrup. Latvia has struggled mightily at Eurovision, having qualified for the grand final only twice since 2008, the last time in 2016. Last year's entry, Aya, by Sudden Lights, was the closest they've been to qualifying in their current drought, reaching 11th place in the first semifinal. Latvia is in slot 9 after Germany's preview performance and before San Marino. So Ben, what do you think of Hollow?
Okay, so first I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit on the tree and say that while I appreciate what this is doing, Hollow leaves me kind of empty. I feel for Latvia so much because they have been trying so many interesting things. Aminata got through, and that was phenomenal. We still talk about that one. CD Zani, I really like them. And, like, even though they did not qualify, they're doing great. They just released another album. They are doing concerts all over Latvia. I have been following their social media since that contest. They're doing great stuff. Sudden Lights was an interesting choice. Samantha Tina was an interesting choice. Like, Latvia is making interesting choices. Dons has a heck of a pedigree. We just covered that. Weirdly, I'm going to be disappointed as if this is what breaks their most recent drought, because like it's so by the numbers. It's this kind of piano ballad. We throw in a choir at the end. I respect the craft, but it's fine.
Katie, what do you think of this one?
I appreciate it more than I like it. After CD Zani, They went much more subtle last year and this year, which it's hard to be less subtle than Meet Your Salad. Aya actually was my biggest glow up during last year's run up. It didn't really hit with me until it did, and then oh, it really did. And I have listened to a lot of Sudden Lights since then. That's not this song. This song is, it's just there. It slips through my fingers, and I can't even really remember how it goes as soon as it's over. It's fine. It's competently sung. There's nice structure to it. But I really struggled with finding something to say about this because it just makes no impression on me whatsoever, other than the weird clones all dressed the same and bald in the video. Okay, that's a choice. I mean, I did like Sudden Light's blue eyeliner last year. I threatened to go get some if they made the final last year, and apparently that was the kiss of death. Oh. So I wish I had another word other than fine, but adequate? Mediocre? It's better than mediocre, but it is not one that I'm going to go look up after the contest. I am not going to go follow Don's on any social media. It's a song.
I'm surprised that I'm probably the one most positive on this one, even though I feel like I'm going to be repeating what both of you are saying about it. Like, I feel like this is Latvia's only choice at this point. Like, in Latvia's Supernova, they had entries that were very much brand Latvian. I love Latvia's brand at the contest, but Latvia's brand has not been successful. And this one is just a straight down the middle, over the plate. Like, it should get them to the final. I am very worried about what happens if this doesn't get them to the final, because what does Latvia do in that case? It's like, okay, we can't send the stuff that we want to send because that's not getting us there. This is something that objectively what should do well at the contest, but there's no guarantee of that. At the same time, I think this is a style of song that I personally don't respond to either, but does have success at Eurovision. Like, I'm thinking of something like Monster Like Me or Silent Storm. Those are very popular songs, even 10 years out. They really do nothing for me, but they're just this kind of like moody man ballad, whatever. I was trying to think of an example that wasn't from Norway. I think that is also a factor there, but it's such a good song technically, and it is part of that send your biggest pop star strategy that a number of countries were doing last year that more or less worked, even outside of a Eurovision context. Like, it would do nothing for me. Like, when we were talking about it on the show previously, it was the episode that Tripp was on, and he compared it to Hozier's Take Me to Church, which is like, oh, yeah, that is a perfect analogy. That is another song that does absolutely nothing for me and will probably have me changing the channel if it were to come up on the radio. I want this to succeed because I want Latvia to succeed. This almost feels like a cynical choice in a way, like kind of like what Sweden would do. Like, oh, okay, this, we're just going to play it by the numbers and moneyball our way into the grand final, which, I mean, if that's what it takes for Latvia to break their streak and then they go back to doing the fun, like get Samantha Tina back in their energy, like, yes, please. But if this does not succeed, I'm just kind of, what do they do?
It's like they forgot there's no jury in the semis anymore. Because this would be saved by the juries, yeah. I think, in previous years. But people are not going to pick up the phone for this. They're just not. It doesn't inspire a reaction, which is what you need to get people to spend the money to support a song.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Is I want to root for Latvia, and I understand why they chose this. I feel like if it gets through, it's squeaking through in like 9th or 10th. We talk a lot about how, like, this doesn't have to win. In this case, it has to beat six things. But, like, I am not sure, just looking at what else is happening in this semifinal, especially with it being, like, right smack dab in the middle, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's my biggest concern. Slot 9 is mean.
It's right in the middle, and I'm looking at the list, and the list I'm looking at doesn't even have the other spotlight performances on the auto qualifier. So, yeah, like, it's at a spot where it can very easily get lost.
People are going to use this as their bathroom break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like, I respect the craft. I understand the choice. I'm going to be disappointed if it gets through, even though, yay, Latvia getting through, because I like what they're doing. I like their general contributions to the contest, just not this one.
We could all be stunned, and it could have a magic glow up with the staging. I'm doubtful, but maybe. I mean, no one thought Fuego was going to do anything until rehearsal started. This is not Fuego, but...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he brings in Hairography, that would be, number one, incredibly surprising.
Yes.
But two, I mean, it could elevate it in ways that we are not anticipating. But Dance does have a charisma about him that maybe that's going to carry it through. Like, there's, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's going to be enough or... Yeah, like, I need some sense of personality. And I'm hoping he's able to bring it. But yeah, consider Hairography.
Sending Sasha Jean-Baptiste an email and just, emergency.
Yes.
Emergency. Hairography now.
All right. I don't want to end this episode on a note. So, yeah. Katie, what entries are you excited about this year?
I have a real soft spot for Lithuania. It was the first national final process that I followed all the way through back in 2020. And I am real excited for Sylvester Belt. I am trying to figure out if I really want to do a little nose thing like he has in his performances, because I'm afraid that's just going to be uncomfortable after a beverage or two. In 2019, I made myself a tiara like Kate Miller Heidke's with bamboo skewers painted silver, zip tied to a pre-made tiara. And I had to take it off towards the end of the evening because it was a little dangerous. It was very pokey. And I was possibly losing some self-control at that point. I like that one. I really like Croatia. I really like Nemo and Switzerland. Between the O's and ones is where I found my kingdom come. That is a genius line on multiple levels. I like that everyone saw what Finland did last year and went, yes, let's do that. Let's send something that we like, that is authentic to us, that is, in many cases, a witch. I think, really, Finland ended up much better than Sweden did because they get all of the praise, they get all of the accolades, they get all the credit for how things are going this year, and they don't have to host the thing. Knowing that it's being held in Sweden this year, I know that my friend who introduced me is going to be very rabid. There is going to be a lot of blue and yellow this year. It's also interesting to see what my daughter will latch onto. She follows the contest mostly through the podcasts that I listen to. She doesn't really follow the national final season. She maybe will listen to the playlists a couple of times before the contest, but she'll find a couple things that she really likes. 2 years ago, her shirt was a train that said Chișinău, Bucharest, and there were some bananas in it because she really liked Subwoofer. Last year, it was a book for Edgar Allan Poe with a crown for Queen of Kings and a rocket with sh on the side.
Nice.
So she definitely has eclectic tastes.
Excellent, excellent. It seems like this year is going to have a lot of costuming opportunities, which can usually be pretty tricky. Or, of course, I'm not really imaginative when it comes to costumes. See, last year my costume was just a name tag that said Marco Mengoni. So
I had a shirt. The background was the silhouette of a kitar, and it said, "Promise me it's going to be all right."
Nice.
And then I had the chorus to "Who the Hell is Edgar" in the colors of the Austrian flag, but it was on a red shirt, so I should have had the thought to do that before I bought a red shirt.
Thank you so much for joining us in this conversation. I'm sorry that this set was not ideal, not the most fun. So we'll definitely have to have you back on the show with a more enthusiastic set.
It's not bad because I ended up spending more time with these songs than I almost definitely would have otherwise. So there were things that I was able to pick out and pick up on that I will be looking for once we get to the semis. Also, I keep forgetting that this is not OQL and I don't have to keep my hands on screen at all.
And on that note, I think that's going to do it for this episode of The Euro What. Thanks for listening. The Euro What podcast is hosted by Mike McComb, that's me, and Ben Smith.
That's me. If you'd like to help support the show and access a ton of bonus content, head over to patreon.com/EuroWhat.
Our full coverage of the 2024 Eurovision Song Contest can be found on our website at eurowhat.com. You can also follow us on social media at EuroWhat.
Next time on the EuroWhat, we discuss the entries from Estonia, Denmark, Belgium, San Marino, and Switzerland with our special guest Mike Rignetta from the podcast Never Post. Emergency, hierography now.